RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and President Moon Jae-in discuss security situation in Korean Peninsula. Indonesia and South Korea improve cooperation in various fields. Now, the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discussed security situations in the Korean Peninsula with his South Korean counterpart Moon Jae-in during bilateral talks at the Bogor Palace in Bogor, West Java, on Thursday. President Joko Widodo said in a joint press conference with Moon that they also discussed developments in the Korean Peninsula. Jokowi stressed that Indonesia urged North Korea to comply with all resolutions of the United Nations Security Council on the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and stop test-firing ballistic missiles. He remarked that he appreciates the stance of the South Korean president, who is still open to discuss the issue through dialogues. In response, Moon expressed gratitude to Jokowi for his support to solve the issue peacefully. He thanked Jokowi for his support to solve the North Korean issue peacefully and to create permanent peace in the Korean Peninsula. The leaders of the two countries made the remarks in response to North Korea's recent nuclear tests, which may lead to a conflict in the Korean Peninsula. President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo received the visiting President of South Korea Moon Jae-in and First Lady Kim Jong-suk in Bogor Palace, West Java, on Thursday. In a joint press conference, President Joko Widodo welcomed the improvement of the partnership of the two countries into the special and strategic partnership.
Beberapa hal yang dibahas dalam pertemuan tadi antara lain, yang pertama, kesepakatan meningkatkan kemitraan kedua negara menjadi special strategic partnership.
We talk about several things, the first is the step up of the partnership of the two countries into special and strategic partnership with emphasis on industrialization acceleration in Indonesia. The second is Indonesia welcomes the increase of the South Korean investment for almost double in the first semester of this year. The third, we will continue to increase the trade that has jumped 19.3% in the first semester of 2017. The fourth is cooperation in the creative industry that I had been discussed during my visit to South Korea in 2016 would also be followed by, among other things, the opening of Korean Creative Content Agency Jakarta in October 2016. The fifth is we express appreciation to South Korea with regard to Indonesian migrant workers there and trust them, especially those working in the fishery sector, to President Moon.
President Joko Widodo added they discuss also the development of situation in Korean Peninsula. The Indonesia urged North Korea to comply with all resolutions of the United Nations Security Council on the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and stop test-firing ballistic missiles. Meanwhile, President Moon is convinced that the Indonesian-South Korean bilateral relations will develop. President Moon admitted that he shared common view with President Joko Widodo with regard to prioritizing people and tolerant economic development. President Moon invited President Joko Widodo to visit his country next year. Around 70% of coffee in Egypt are imported from Indonesia. The Robusta coffee comes from the provinces of Lampung, Bali, Aceh, and West Sumatra. It was stated by Indonesian trade attaché in Egypt Burhan Rahman in Cairo recently. Indonesia imported coffee is Robusta coffee. Meanwhile, Egypt imports Arabica coffee from Brazil, Mexico, and Vietnam.
Sementara mereka masih ada yang belanja Arabica ke Brazil, Mexico, and Vietnam.
They purchase Arabica coffee from Brazil, Mexico, and Vietnam and other Asian countries. We try to sell more coffee if possible. 80% of coffee in Egypt comes from Indonesia. The Arabica coffee would be only nearly 10%.
Burhan Rahman said the Indonesian coffee would still be a prima donna of all imported commodities from Indonesia and Egypt until 2018. It was seen in trade transactions at the Trade Expo Indonesia last October in Jakarta. Three Egyptian importers had purchased Indonesian coffee with a total value of $30 million. In this year's Egypt's earned 6 Prima Duta Awards from President Joko Widodo, with 5 of them went to coffee importers. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Heroes Days on November 10 should not only be commemorated. All Indonesians should understand the essence of the commemoration. It was said by the chief of event organizer of the National Commemoration of the Heroes Days 2017, Agus Tanzil Syahruzah, in special interview with Voice of Indonesia recently.
Jadi dari situ hendaknya kita tidak hanya memperingati secara ritual.
We should not only commemorate the day, but also understand the essence that everybody was ready to sacrifice their pleasure and their lives for the independence of this country. The educated independence heroes were then respected by the colonialists. Still, they did not stay silent. They did not only enjoy the privilege they deserved, they fought for independence.
Syahruzah added, all Indonesians, especially the youth, should feel the independence the heroes fought before with the useful things. The independence of the country is like debt that all Indonesians should pay to the independence heroes. A South Korean public company, Korea Rail Network Authority, KRNA, is set to provide $500 million to finance the development of the light rail transit serving the velodrome facility in Rawamangun, East Java, to Duku Atas, Central Jakarta. The announcement was made official with the signing of an agreement between KRNA and the city-owned construction company PT Jakarta Propertindo on Thursday. The agreement was a follow-up to the Memorandum of Understanding signed by both parties last year. The president director of JakPro, Satya Hiragandhi, said the cooperation was expected to ease the city administration burden in financing the project. Besides financing the project, Korea Rail Network Authority would provide free training to workers to operate and maintain the LRT. Satya said this was crucial because the priority line of the LRT serving the velodromes to Kelapa Gading, North Jakarta, had been scheduled to operate before 2018 Asian Games. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan is mulling over a plan to make entrance to museums in Jakarta free in a bid to lure more people. Anies said elementary and high school students holding Jakarta smart cards will be prioritized in the policy he was formulating. He stated on Thursday at the City Hall in Central Jakarta that he wanted the students not only go to certain museum, but all 142 museums in Jakarta. Anies explained that there would be a mechanism to regulate the timing of visit to prevent everyone visiting at a particular time. Time allocation of visitations will be categorized based on area, age, and type of school. He added that allocation time for a visit is needed in a bid to ensure comfort. If it was free and unregulated, it would be full and make visitors uncomfortable. Lake Toba Implementation Authority Board, BPODT, is currently promoting tour packages to Lake Toba, North Sumatra, to Singaporean tourists. The authority's board's president director, Ari Prasetyo, said there are up to 600 tour packages being offered until November 21st. The packages are divided into three groups, 3 days and two nights, 4 days and three nights, and 5 days and four nights trips. Out of the three, the 4 days and three nights trip is said to be the most popular one. The itinerary for the package includes traveling to Huta Ginjang, where travelers can explore Lake Toba.
On the second day, the group will catch a boat to sail across to Samosir from Parapat. While on the boat, they will be entertained by a performance of traditional acoustic music. On the third day, tourists will be given time to explore the city of Parapat. As the Langit Airport has become an international airport, the tourism ministry is targeting to attract tourism from neighboring countries, such as Singapore, to come to Lake Toba in North Sumatra. The travel duration from Singapore is only 55 minutes to Silangit. In addition to Singapore, the ministry also aims to attract tourists from Malaysia and China. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is President Donald Trump's State Visit to Asia. After visiting Japan, the President of United States, Donald Trump, make a state visit to China and then to Russia, Vietnam, and the Philippines. The question is why in his first Asian tour since becoming president, Trump did not visit Indonesia. For President Donald Trump, his first visit seems to be more directed to the East Asian region and not to Southeast Asia or South Asia. Japan was chosen as the best country. There are probably two main reasons why Japan is the best priority. For America, Japan is a country directly opposite to North Korea, besides South Korea, of course. President Donald Trump's visit to Japan can be viewed from two points: an economic perspective and security approach. After Japan collapsed due to atomic bomb attacks on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the United States is a country that supports Japan, including defense field. China and Russia, as the next visited countries, certainly have a strategic position for the United States. The two Asian giants, especially China, have enormous economic and market power. Maintaining good relations with Beijing for Washington is a strategic move between competition and cooperation. Both of them have to be embraced to cooperate. The question is why President Donald Trump prefers visiting Vietnam and the Philippines to visiting Indonesia. During the visit to Vietnam, President Donald Trump would attend the APEC summit in Da Nang. Meanwhile, in the Philippines, the president would attend a special conference to be joined by the Philippines and South Pacific countries. Apart from both events, Vietnam and the Philippines are strategic partners of the United States in the South China Sea's geopolitical strategy. Both countries are involved in the dispute of spread the island against Beijing. Therefore, to maintain balance, Washington views Vietnam and the Philippines strategically in the face of Beijing in the South China Sea. In that perspective, it can be explained why President Donald Trump did not at once visit Indonesia in his first state trip to Asia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on November 10, 1928. Hirohito was inaugurated as the 124th Japanese Emperor. Hirohito, or known as the Showa Emperor, was the 124th Japanese Emperor. He was crowned to be an emperor on December 25, 1926, after his father Emperor Taisho died. He was officially inaugurated on November 10, 1928 in Tokyo. In Japanese history, He was the longest ruling emperor from 1926 to 1989 and was one of the most important figures during World War II and the rebuilding of Japan. Before ascending the throne, he was known as Prince Meiji. His reign as emperor was known as the Showa era, which means peace and bright mind. Ironically, at that time, Japan was involved in a war against China and also in the World War II. In Indonesia, during the Japanese occupation, in 1942 to 1945, Hirohito was known as Tenno Heika, which means His Majesty the Emperor. Next event was the beginning of war against Allied forces in Surabaya, which occurred on November 10, 1945. The Battle of Surabaya is a historical event of war between the Indonesian Army and the British forces. The great event took place on November 10, 1945 in Surabaya, East Java. The battle was the first war of Indonesian troops with foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence and one of the greatest and heaviest battles in the history of the Indonesian National Revolution, which became the national symbol of Indonesia's resistance to colonialism. And now we conclude with an event of the first Ganevo in Jakarta, which occurred on November 10, 1963. The games of the new emerging forces, Ganevo, were the games set up by Indonesia as a counter to the Olympic Games, established for the athletes of the so-called emerging nations or mainly newly independent socialist states. Ganevo was the name given both to the games held in Jakarta in 1963 and the 36-member sporting federation established the same year. The first edition of Ganevo was held in Jakarta, Indonesia, on November 10 to 22, 1963, for 13 days. Athletes from 46 nations dispatched about 2,700 athletes, and 7 nations sent staff and officials. In total, 51 nations participated in the games from Africa, Asia, Europe and Latin America. Indonesia established Ganevo in the aftermath of IOC censure for the politically charged fourth edition of which Indonesia hosted and for which Taiwan and Israel were refused entry cards. The IOC's eventual reaction was to indefinitely suspend Indonesia from the IOC. Indonesia had thrown down a challenge to all international amateur sport organizations, which cannot very well be ignored, in the words of IOC President Avery Brundage. This was the first time the IOC suspended one of its members, although Indonesia was readmitted in time for the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Focus. Today's topic entitled Indonesia Support Peace Process in Afghanistan. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi met with Afghan President Mohammad Ashraf Ghani in Kabul on Monday, November 6, local time. On that occasion, Retno Marsudi discussed the follow-up on the peace and reconciliation process in Afghanistan. Press release from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Tuesday, November 7, 2017, stated Retno Marsudi's visit to Afghanistan is a historic moment. Because Indonesian Foreign Minister made time visit to Afghanistan was in 1964, when the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia was served by Subandrio. A number of issues were discussed in the meeting between Retno Marsudi and Ashraf Ghani in Kabul. One of them was about the peace and reconciliation process in Afghanistan. This is a follow-up to the visit of Afghan President Ashraf Ghani to Indonesia on April 5 to 6, 2017. During the visit, President Ashraf Ghani learned Indonesia's experience in handling conflict and terrorism. During his visit to Indonesia, the Afghan president met with Indonesian scholars, especially the Muhammadiyah and Nahdlatul Ulama clerics at the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta to discuss the moderation of Islam and tolerance. On the occasion, Afghanistan wants to learn from the experience of Indonesia in building and maintaining peace. Minister Retno Marsudi expressed Indonesia's commitment to support the peace and reconciliation process in Afghanistan. He asserted, as the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, Indonesia is a model in building peace in Afghanistan. After meeting with President Ashraf Ghani, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also met with Chairman of the High Peace Council or HPC of Afghanistan, Muhammad Karim Halili. The meeting discussed the preparation of the visit of High Peace Council HPC to Indonesia at the invitation of President Joko Widodo. After meeting with the head of HPC, Retno Marsudi continued to meet with Afghan Foreign Minister Salahuddin Rabbani. The two ministers discussed cooperation that promoted trade, investment, and socio-cultural relations between Indonesia and Afghanistan. Retno Marsudi said his side also signed a memorandum of cooperation between Indonesia state-owned enterprises and its partners from Afghanistan for the airport development project. In addition, Indonesian state-owned enterprises also discussed housing and road development projects, as well as other sectors such as economy, peace-building, and reconciliation. From the economic aspect, there is an increasing relationship between the private sector of both countries. In addition, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that her party signed a memorandum on the construction of health clinic within the building of the Indonesian Islamic Center in Kabul, as well as various cooperation in the field of education. After the visit, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi asserted that Indonesia-Afghanistan is also committed to improve cooperation plan about human resources improvement on law enforcement, to de-radicalization effort of extremism movement, peace process, and reconciliation. Listener, that was the focus today.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discussed security situation in the Korean Peninsula with his South Korean counterpart Moon Jae-in during bilateral talks at Bogor Palace in Bogor, West Java on Thursday. A South Korean public company, Korea Rail Network Authority, KRNA, is set to provide $500 million to finance the development of the light rail transit serving the velodrome facility in Rawamangun, East Jakarta, to Dukuh Atas, Central Jakarta. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan is mulling over a plan to make entrance to museum in Jakarta free in a bid to lure more people. Lake Toba Implementation Authority Board is currently promoting tour packages to Lake Toba, North Sumatra, to Singaporean tourists. Listener, that was news in brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today we'll invite you traveling to Padang, West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, Padang is the capital of West Sumatra province. The city is known for its typical culinary, namely rendang. Rendang is recognized as one of the best food in the world. Located directly adjacent to the hills and oceans, making this city is also rich with beautiful natural attractions. One of the objects is Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. Lubuk Hitam Waterfall is located on Padang Painan Highway, precisely in Kota Lubuk Hitam Village, Cindakir, Bungus, Teluk Kabung Subdistrict, Padang City. From the city center of Padang, it is about 25 kilometers to the south, with travel time about 1 hour by motorcycle or car. Along the way, you will pass a winding path with hilly scenery on the left side and the high sea on the right side. The entrance gate to the area is a small road on the left of Padang Painan Highway. Once arrived inside, you will find a concrete road with 2 meters width, where on the left and right sides there are the stretch of rice field scenery owned by residents and the green hills. There are also some small waterfalls appeared on the sidelines of the hills. After driving longer and pass through the village, you will enter the tropical rainforest. There, you still have to walk through the uphill and downhill lanes. Along the way, you will hear the rush of the river, birds chirping, perch on the branches of trees, and sounds of various types of forest insects, until finally you will reach Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. To enjoy the beauty of the waterfall, you have to pay an entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah per person. Listener, Lubuk Hitam Waterfall is also called three-level waterfall because the three waterfalls are adjacent. To reach the first and second waterfall is relatively easy because the road is not too uphill. The waterfalls with 2 meters and 10 meters high, respectively, can be reached after walking through the residence Kokua Garden, 10 minutes from the parking area. Because it is not too difficult to reach the two waterfalls, a lot of tourists choose the places as their favorite destination place in their holiday. On the tourism objects, they can swim as much and capture the natural beauty by taking pictures. Listener, to reach the third level waterfall, you must try to conquer the heights and walk in the slippery cliffs overgrown with trees. To get there, it takes about 30 to 40 minutes depending on the ability of the visitors to walk on the height of 1,080 meters. Actually, to get to the location is not difficult, because you can find footpaths to reach the third Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. Interestingly, at the third Lubuk Hitam Waterfall, there are also three waterfalls, the large with 15 meters high, and the two others are approximately below 2 meters high. The lubuk or pond of the waterfalls is quite deep, so you should be careful when swimming. Unfortunately, in the tourism location, there is no restaurant in Lubuk Hitam Waterfall object, so you have to bring your own food. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lubuk Hitam Waterfall from Padang, West Sumatra. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Very World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feasts, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Listener, today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely, black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abdau is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abdul fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. In Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next Miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java Province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 9525 kHz, live streaming of english.rriworldservice.com or our mobile application, RRI Play, through, and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida.
Asik numan kau, kau bacaan.
Listener Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S, and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired, but it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer, and she sang a lot of Nano S song, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetty Koes Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Isn't it just like the title? The song composed by Nano S describes everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meida through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetty Koes Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetty Koes Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese-speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetty Koes Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetty Koes Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.